So my task is to introduce to you Ceftaroline and its role in the management of CAP. But really, do we need new drugs for CAP? Sure we do, and for multiple reasons. CAP is a very common respiratory illness. Its estimated frequency is 2 to 12 cases per 1,000 inhabitants over Europe, and many of these people get into the hospital with a high morbidity and mortality because of the concern about resistance and drug resistance. The mortality is high in certain conditions. For CAP patients who remain at home, this risk is very low. But when you get to the hospital, for ordinary CAP, the mortality is between 5 to 15%, and when you go to the intensive care unit, this mortality rises to over 25%. And the mortality ratio is dependent on the comorbidities. If you have patients with heart problems, renal problems, diabetes, and so forth, the mortality may go up to 30 to 35%. And that's why we need to be aggressive in the management of these persons. So when you have a patient with a CAP, you normally start with an empiric therapy on the pathogen you think about. But this empiric therapy, if it's not directed and active on the bug the person has, you may have problems, issue problems in mortality and morbidity. So if you have a failure in empiric therapy, this failure may result in prolongation of the hospital stay. It may increase the cost of the treatment, and it increases the in-hospital mortality. That's why we need a drug which is very active, very potent from the beginning in order not to have a failure with the empiric therapy. The REACH study reported a high degree of comorbidity in patients hospitalized with CAP. We have 78.5% of the patients with more comorbid conditions. The most common were respiratory diseases in 33% of the patients, diabetes and congestive heart disease. These patients with comorbidities were observed to experience a higher mortality, 8% versus 4% for the patients admitted on your ordinary ward, and these mortality was extremely higher when the patient was admitted to the intensive care unit. So, what do we need from a new antibiotic? We need an antibiotic which shows a very high in vitro activity against a wide range of pathogens that are clinically relevant to CAP, especially Streptococcus pneumoniae, Neisseria, and so forth, which has a low propensity for the development of resistance, which has a proven efficacy in producing clinical cure in CAP, including patients for whom the physician has additional concerns, that means the patients with comorbidities, is more effective than current therapies, has a low incidence of adverse events and favorable safety profile, and which can be prescribed safely with other commonly prescribed medications, but because most of the patients are polymedicated, they have drugs for the kidney, for the heart, and so forth, and we need to think about drug-drug interactions when we use a new antibiotic to treat these patients. So, ceftaroline is at the center of the slides because it has all of these characteristics. It has very, very high in vitro activity against respiratory pathogens. It has a very low propensity for the development of resistance, and we're going to show this thing in a few slides later on. It has a better efficacy than other current therapies. It is very well tolerated, as all beta-lactams and cephalosporins in general, and it has a good penetrations in the lungs and the respiratory tract. So let's move to see the evolution of the resistance in the respiratory pathogens over the last decade. And when you see in certain regions of the world such as France, Germany, Italy, Latvia, and Spain, and the UK, you see the evolution of the resistance is Streptococcus pneumoniae, which is growing much faster the last years. And we have in certain parts of the globe in the resistance to penicillin over 30 to 40%, sometimes reaching 60% resistance to penicillins. The trend is much faster for the gram-negatives, for E. coli, then the resistance to third-generation cephalosporins, and Klebsiella pneumoniae with the third-generation cephalosporins. For Staph aureus, the evolution to MRSA, the resistance to methicillin, it's somehow stable all over the world, and it depends on the regions. In the UK and in the southern Europe, you have a high tendency to MRSA isolates. In the northern Europe, you have less than 10%. The States, you have approximately 30% MRSA. Lebanon is a country, intermediate country in the resistance for methicillin, and we have approximately 15 to 20% MRSA in our isolates in Lebanon. So it should be a concern when you have a staphylococcal infections. We should search about and think about and cover MRSA in these patients. Over the last 20 years, the resistance has increased a lot, and in the face of this fact, we have few more antibiotics in the pipeline to act on these organisms. And in the last decade, of only five new antibiotics, we have till now three which are approved by the FDA for the treatment of severe infections. And ceftaroline is one among these new drugs, and I think it should have a big place in the therapeutic armamentarium. So what are we are against? We have a high global unmet medical need in our environment. We have an escalating resistance to existing drugs. We have increased risk of serious infections because we have many immunocompromised patients we are treating. Up to 60% of the hospital-acquired infections in the USA are caused by resistance microorganisms. Some 25,000 patients die each year in the European Union from common multidrug-resistant bacteria. And in the States, as I said, we have a surge in the MRSA epidemic. That's why we need a new antibiotic. And I'm going to present to you now ceftaroline, which is a novel cephalosporin with anti-methicillin-resistant Staph aureus activity. It's a parenteral broad-spectrum bactericidal advanced generation, fifth-generation cephalosporin. It's the first cephalosporin beta-lactam with anti-MRSA activity, along with activity among other gram-positive and gram-negative organisms. So we should not think about ceftaroline as anti-MRSA, as it's presented. It's a wide-spectrum cephalosporin. It's active against gram-positives, gram-negative, but specially it covers the MRSA, which all other beta-lactams until now don't cover. The CLSI designates ceftaroline as a member of a new class of beta-lactam antibiotics with MRSA activity. The recommended dose for CAP is 600 milligrams Q12 hours in an infusion over 60 minutes, and it has been used until now for persons above 80 years old. We have studies going on with children, but until now we don't have indications in persons below 80 years of age. A dosage reduction should be done in case of renal failure. Let's move to the microbiology of CAP. You see on this slide the commonest bacterium isolates in community-acquired pneumonia with number one, Streptococcus pneumoniae. Then you have Mycoplasma pneumoniae, Haemophilus influenzae, Chlamydophila pneumoniae, Staph aureus, methicillin sensitive and methicillin resistant, the Enterobacteriaceae with E. coli, Klebsiella, Pseudomonas, Legionella, Coxiella burnetii, the viruses, and in certain cases, it depends on the capacities of your labs and the culture techniques, you may have unclear or non-specified microorganism, because many patients come to the hospital already under antibiotics, or you have difficult bug to put into culture, and then you have a certain percentage of CAP without definite diagnosis. So why that the environment is changing? I said in addition to Streptococcus pneumoniae, other bacterial pathogens are commonly isolated. We have gram-positive with methicillin-sensitive Staph aureus, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, Haemophilus influenzae and Moraxella among the gram-negatives, and then the atypical. Streptococcus pneumoniae strains with decreased sensitivity to penicillin are becoming more and more prevalent in our society. And a study done in Lebanon since 5 or 6 years showed that we have penicillin-resistant or intermediate pneumococcus. The ratio is about 40% of pneumococcus resistant to penicillin. So that's an issue. When you consider CAP with pneumococcus, think about resistant and think about better drug to cover these pneumococcal isolates which are resistant or intermediate to penicillins. In European studies published between 2007 and 11, reported rates of empiric failure, treatment failure with CAP ranged from 5 to 25%. And you see, many studies done in VAP showed that when you have a failure of empiric therapy, you have a doubling of the mortality ratios of your patients. So that's why we have the dogma, try, hit hard, hit fast. If you get the right choice from the beginning, you get better less mortality and better results with your patients. So think always about the resistant bugs you have in your community to get the best antibiotic from the beginning. And initial treatment modification rates in patients hospitalized for CAP and requiring IV antibiotics were high. 37% of the patient, there was a need to change the antibiotic which was started in the beginning. And it's a high ratio. So let's get it right from the beginning and try to catch the bug from the beginning. You see on this slide the chemical structure of ceftaroline. It's a beta-lactam with multiple additions on the molecule. You have on the left a phosphono group. The phosphono group, it helps to solubilize the molecule in order to get it by intravenous route. This phosphono group is hydrolyzed by phosphatase in the blood, and you get the active compound in the blood. Now, we have in position 7 a methoxymino group, which favors the beta-lactamase resistance. And then you have on the right side an aminotiazole ring, which confers the resistance to the MRSA. And you see on this slide the distribution of the minimal inhibitory concentrations for different microorganisms. And you see, comparatively to ceftriaxone, erythromycin, clindamycin, linezolid, and vancomycin, which are commonest antibiotics used in pneumonia, we have the lowest MICs for methicillin-sensitive Staph aureus, 0.25 micrograms, and methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, 1 microgram, which is far less than what we see with other antibiotics. Again, for coagulase-negative staphylococci, it's the same. You have very low MICs. For streptococcus, for beta-hemolytic streptococcus, 0.12, group A, group B, less than 0.08 microgram per milliliter. Streptococcus pneumoniae, for penicillin-sensitive strains, 0.015 micrograms. And for penicillin-resistant strains, it's 0.25. And when you see that the break point for the sensitivity is 0.5 to 1, you are well below the MICs for streptococcus pneumoniae resistant to penicillin. You see on this slide the gram-negative distribution with the MICs, and again you have very low MICs for sensitive E. coli 0.25, Klebsiella 0.25. The MICs rise for ESBL-producing strains. That's why ceftaroline is not to be used when you have an infection with an ESBL-producing strain. And here you see the breakpoints for sensitivity for different microorganisms. For Staph aureus, it's 1. For Streptococcus pneumoniae, 0.25, and so forth. The pharmacokinetics profile of the molecule is very convenient. You have a it has a very good penetration in the lung. It is an extracellular drug. It doesn't go inside the cells, so it doesn't have a penetration into the intracellular milieu. So that's why it is an antibiotic for extracellular microorganisms. But the distribution is very wide. It's 20 liters per ml. And the concentrations attained with after a single or IV dose is 20 to 25 micrograms. And when I said that the MICs were around 0.25 to 1 microgram, and if you have in the blood a Cmax of 25, so you can imagine how much you are above the MICs. The penetration into the lung is about 25%, and so you have in the lining fluid and in the bronchial tree concentrations of about 5 micrograms per milliliter, which is again above the MICs, 10 times above the MICs. That's very convenient for the treatment of respiratory tract infection. The product is metabolized in the blood. It doesn't have an interaction with the P450, so no interactions with other drugs that may affect the cytochrome P450, neither enhancement nor inhibition of the cytochrome, so no interactions at all. And you don't have a hepatic breakdown of the drug. That's why 85% of the drug is eliminated in the urine as an active form, and only 6% is eliminated in the feces. I would like to show you on the next two slides the propensity for resistance development. And as you will see, ceftaroline was used with multiple microorganisms, Streptococcus, Haemophilus influenzae, Pneumococcus, and multiple antimicrobial resistant profile strains that have resistance to macrolides, either by efflux mechanism or by methylase, quinolone-resistant bugs, and penicillin-resistant bugs, either by beta-lactamase, such as Haemophilus influenzae, or by modifications of the PPP, as we see with the resistance pneumococcus. And all these strains were cultured with increased concentration of ceftaroline in vitro. That's what we define as multiple step selection of resistance. So you put a low concentration, you increase a little bit the concentration in the second part, and so forth, 20, 30 times, in order to create or to select organism resistance and gradually resistant to the drug. And what you see on this slide, I'm not sure if you see exactly, but you can see the MICs before the multiple step selection and after 30 to 50 passages in increased concentrations of ceftaroline. And you see in the beginning and at last, you have a very, very, very low increase of the MICs. So that's the situation you may have in vivo when you get the drug for an infection. the level of the drug decreases between in the interval between two injections, and the microorganisms are exposed to sub-inhibitory concentrations, and you think you may have now, because the concentration of the blood is low, you may select for resistant mutants, even if the concentration is low for many passages. The MIC of the organism doesn't change very much. It still remains in the MIC's acceptable MIC range, and the bug will be eliminated at the ultimately by the antibiotic. But doesn't mean what I showed to you here, doesn't mean that we don't have resistance to ceftaroline. You have inherently naturally occurring resistance, but when you have a sensitive microorganism from the beginning, it's hard to get a resistant clone under treatment, and that's why we have less treatment failure when we start with a drug with a low propensity for development. So another major point is the binding to albumin and the protein in the blood. You see, protein binding is very different among antibiotics. Certain drugs like ceftriaxone have a very high binding capacity to albumin, above 80%, and others like ceftaroline are at the second spectrum with 20% only binding to albumin. And this notion is very important because the drug bound to albumin doesn't diffuse easily into the tissues. So if you have less albumin binding, you have better penetration into the tissues, and that's a major advantage to be used when you have an infection. So let's go to two studies. I'm going to present to you two studies for comparing ceftaroline with other drugs for the treatment of CAP. One international study, the FOCUS trial, which was done in Europe and in the States. It covered many countries. It was a phase 3 multicenter randomized double-blind comparative study done in Africa, Asia, Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, and USA. But the point in this study, that's why I'm going to present the second one later on. The agent part of it was very the representation was low. 3% only of the patients were of Asian origin, so it reflects most of the times what happens in the Western world. And in this study, patients admitted to the hospital with PORT score severity score 3 or 4 only. So PORT score 1, 2, patients were not admitted to the hospital and they were not entered into the study. And class 5 patients who were in the intensive care unit were not included either in the study. So they took the patients with the score 3 and 4, and they were randomized into two arms. The first arm treated with ceftaroline 600 milligrams q12 hours. And the second arm, ceftriaxone, 1 gram per day. And it was a design of 10% non-inferiority. And you have the assessment at the end of treatment, at the test of cure 1 week later, and the late follow-up 3 to 5 weeks later on. And you see on these slides the results for, at the top, at the test of cure for the modified intention to treat patients, and at the bottom for the clinically evaluable patients. And in both arms, you see we have 83% success in the focus, and overall 82 for focus 1 and focus 2 together, comparatively to 76% in the arm of ceftriaxone. And for clinically evaluable, we have 84% success in the focus, the Zimforo arm, versus 77% in the ceftriaxone arm. So we have comparative results. We can do at least the two drugs fare as well, one to the other. If we stratify now our patients into the different microbiological results, for Streptococcus pneumoniae, 85% versus 68%. And we can understand easily, because we may have into these strep pneumoniae intermediate or resistant strains to penicillin, and 1 gram of ceftriaxone may not be enough for treating CAP patients with resistant pneumococcus. For MSSA, for methicillin-sensitive staph aureus, 72 versus 68. For the gram-negatives, Haemophilus influenzae, 85 versus 83. And for Klebsiella and Escherichia, 83 versus 76. Now, if we go to the clinical condition, when you have bacteremia, the results were better with ceftriaxone, with ceftaroline against ceftriaxone. 71% success when you have bacteremia versus 58. For port class 3 and 4, again, we have slightly better results. When you have prior antibiotic treatment or no prior antibiotic treatments, the results are almost the same. For persons above 50 years of age, above 65 or 75, also you have a trend to a slightly better result with ceftaroline. So overall, when you see these patients, and for renal failure patients, all among all, you have what we see on these slides in all over the sub-stratifications, we have a slight better results with ceftaroline versus ceftriaxone. When we try to stratify and to see the results at 4 days after the beginning of the treatment, that's the early assessment. At 4 days, you may have an idea of the patients who are going to respond to treatment and the failure patients. And you see on this slide, the assessment at 4 days, you have a better result also for the arm in the ceftaroline group. But what we can also have, what information can we take from this slide? If we assess the patient at 4 days, the treatment failure can be assessed easily at the beginning, and we can switch to another one, or if we have a good result, we can downgrade and have a less hospital stay or downgrade to a antibiotic peros, and then have an easy outcome and let the patient go go at home earlier. The second study I'm going to present to you is the Asia CAP, the ceftaroline versus ceftriaxone in the Asian patients. Two major differences with the FOCUS study. In this study, the dose of ceftriaxone was 2 grams. It was a study, 600 milligrams ceftaroline BID versus 2 grams ceftriaxone OD in these patients. The second difference, it's a study done only in Asian countries in the Far East, and the importance is to see the activity when we have a different bacteriological ecology with the Streptococcus pneumoniae with a resistant profile, which could be different from what we see in the Western countries. That's the design of the study. You had ceftaroline versus ceftriaxone, and the patients were taken from 64 centers in China, India, South Korea, Taiwan, and Vietnam. The patients were above 80 years age. They had radiographically confirmed pneumonia, new or progressive pulmonary infiltrates on chest radiograph, or a CT scan consistent with bacterial pneumonia. They should have an acute illness of less than 7 days duration. Oh, it's not a chronic pneumonia. And the clinical signs or symptoms of pneumonia. And again, a port risk 3 or 4 class, and admitted to the hospital for intravenous treatment. the outcome, the outcomes, the primary one was the proportion of patients clinically cured at the test of cure, and the secondary endpoints, the clinical response at the test of cure, the clinical response at the end of therapy, clinical relapse, the microbiological response at the test of cure, and the clinical and microbiological by pathogens at the test of cure, and the safety. 7,171 patients were randomized, and they were divided into two subgroups. Finally, in the evaluable patients, we have 330 in the ceftaroline arm and 317 in the ceftriaxone arm. By country, you have China, 39% of the patients, India, 26%, and so on. The demographic and baseline characteristics of the patients were similar in both groups, as the age was similar, 66 versus 65.8. The sex ratio was identical. The BMI index also was identical in both. The ethnic origin, they are all Eastern Asian. The port class risk was, again, similar in both groups, and the presence or absence of bacteremia was similar in both groups. The pathogens isolated also were similarly distributed, with number one, Streptococcus pneumoniae, 30% in ceftaroline, 19% in ceftriaxone, Klebsiella pneumoniae, 23% versus 21%, Haemophilus influenzae, the same, E. coli, and Staph aureus. And the Staph aureus were all methicillin sensitive. There were no methicillin-resistant Staph aureus in these study. So, for the efficacy issue, you see on the slide, at the test of cure in clinically evaluable patient, 85% success in ceftaroline versus 74%, with a difference of 9.9%. So the primary endpoint was met in this study. The clinical cure at the test of cure by population for the clinically evaluable 84 versus 74, for the modified intent to treat patients 80 versus 75, for the microbiological evaluation 87 versus 62. So for all the parameters in the study, they are in favor of ceftaroline. We have better results with ceftaroline than the comparator drug used in the study. And I should mention something. In this study, no macrolide was added from the beginning of the treatment, instead of the focus study in which, in the first day, the patient was allowed to take one or two doses of macrolide in order to get the microbiological result to see if it was in favor of a atypical pathogen or no. And you see again on this slide, the results are again in favor of the ceftaroline arm. The clinical cure at test cure by subgroup patients, for the patients below 65 years of age, 78 versus 78, the same. Above 65 years old, it's much better, 88% versus 71%. Above 75 years old, also the difference is very important, 87% versus 75%. For male and females, the results also were in favor of ceftaroline, and for class 3 and class 4 port scores, the results again were higher with ceftaroline than with ceftriaxone. With previous treated persons versus non-treated persons at the admission to the hospital, again, ceftaroline showed results above 83% success versus 73 to 75% in the ceftriaxone group. So you see again, for the different subclasses of patient studies, studied age, sex, and treated or not treated patients at the end to the hospital, all the parameters are in favor of ceftaroline. In the late follow-up now study in clinically evaluable patients, so 1 month after the end of treatment, you have 92% cure and 94 in the ceftriaxone. So at the end, they reach each other, and we can say that in the Asian study, we have, again, a non-inferiority action of ceftaroline. The conclusion now from this study, the primary endpoints were met because the 95 confidence interval in the clinically evaluated population was above 10%, minus 10%. And based on the predefined criteria, clinical cure at the test of cure with ceftaroline 600 milligrams q 12 hours is superior to ceftriaxone 2 grams per day for the treatment of adult hospitalized patients with CAP in Asia. And it's consistent positive response trends seen at the test of cure across key subgroups. The slide shows the difference in the results for different microorganisms. For strep pneumoniae, 86% and 87%. So it's not like what we saw in the focus group, a better result in streptococcus. So maybe in Asia, they didn't have enough streptococcus pneumonia resistant to penicillin. We have a homogeneous here type of response. And that's what we saw in the results. We had a clinical result similar between the two groups. In Klebsiella pneumoniae, again, the results are practically similar. Haemophilus influenzae, a little bit better for ceftaroline. And overall, we have a better result with ceftaroline. Now, let's move to the safety, because it's the major concern. We have many new antibiotics now, and we have new antibiotics which can be used for difficult-to-treat infections in the lung and elsewhere, but the safety remains a major issue, because many of these new drugs we are using now have a safety profile of question mark. We have many side effects. The thing we don't see with cephalosporins and beta-lactams in general. So is ceftaroline, has ceftaroline the same profile as other beta-lactams? And you see on this slide, yes, we have very low propensity for safety issue, very low adverse effects. The mortality was very low, and the mortality caused by the drug was zero. What are the major complaints? Constipation, dizziness, fatigue, drug fever, and abdominal pain, and which were similar to the side effects we saw with the comparative drugs. So the conclusions, no unexpected safety signal was observed, and overall the frequency of the side effect was the same among both drugs, and no serious side effect, no mortality caused by the drug. I'm going to show you now the side effects seen with the focus. So let's see the European and the American persons. Do they have the same profile of side effects? Yes, we have practically the same. Dizziness, nausea, and fatigue. Other side effects are much less prevalent, like rash or pruritus, headaches, dizziness, phlebitis, vomiting, or Coombs positive test. I want to stress again that there is no drug-drug interaction with ceftaroline, because ceftaroline is not metabolized in the liver, so it doesn't affect the cytochrome P450, and there is no clinical drug-drug interaction studies so far between Zinforo and other potential drugs used with the CAP patients. And this potential lack of drug interaction may be more suitable for use in certain patients using other antibiotics such as vancomycin, linezolid, or others. So let's summarize now what we had said until now for ceftaroline. The major two indications for ceftaroline until now approved by the FDA are CAP for all of us and skin or soft tissue infections. And the duration of treatment is from 5 to 7 days for these infections, for the pulmonary infections. No need to be worried for elderly patients. No dosage adjustment for elderly patients above 65 years old. But we should reduce the dose when you have renal problems. When you have a clearance above 50, you use the full dose. For a clearance between 30 to 50, you use the 400 milligrams Q6 hours. For hemodialysis patients, we don't have enough data yet until now to make recommendations. No problem in hepatic failure or hepatic problems, but no indication until now for pediatric patients. The contraindications are the general contraindications for cephalosporins, so hypersensitivity to the molecule or to arginine, which is used in the excipient of the molecule. Clostridium difficile associated colitis is a side effect, but it's not more prevalent than what we see with other antibiotics from this class. And let's be cautious when we have patients with seizures. Like all beta-lactams, like penicillins and cephalosporins, we may have a potentiation of the seizures when we have persons having epilepsy. So be aware, if you have patients having epilepsy problems, you should be aware of the problem and take your precautions not to have seizures with the problem. The renal impairment, I spoke about it, and the appearance of a positive Coombs test, it happens in 10% of the persons taking penicillins in general. It's a common issue, but we don't search for it, so we're not aware of it very often, and we don't pay attention to that. And it's a pretty thing to do, because even if 10% of the patients get an antibody and they get a positive Coombs reaction, very, very, very few will have hemolysis. So the presence of a positive Coombs is not a contraindication for the usage of these molecules. It can happen, but you don't have to stop unless you have hemolysis. But the hemolysis is a very rare phenomenon. And at in the end, I want to stress again that there is no contraindications with other drugs that use the cytochrome P450, and ceftaroline also is not affected by the organic anion or cation transporters in the kidney. So there is no competition in the kidney for the secretion and no interaction at the kidney level also with the drug. So you see, it has a very good activity against our pathogens, and the pathogens we see in our indications in CAP, it has a very good penetration. The activity is good. The clinical results are good. The propensity for resistance development is very low, and it has a very safe profile with no interactions. I think it should be thought about in the treatment of our patients in the hospital and stigmatized. I thank you.
Thank you, Professor Nasnas, for this extensive overview on Sinforo. We have time for 2 to 3 questions.
Dr. Nasnas, thank you. Thank you very much. A question. Will it have any place in the VAP associated with other antibiotics?
I think so. As you saw in these slides, all the studies were done with methicillin-sensitive Staph aureus. And the drug is promoted to be used in MRSA. So the two indications are pneumonia until now, pneumonia and skin and soft tissue infections. But I have used the drugs in osteomyelitis caused by MRSA. It's not until now a formal indication, and I had a very good result. And the problem is to compare and to find the comparator when you use ceftaroline. So ceftaroline in VAP can't be used as a monotherapy. It should be used with another thing because you may have Acinetobacter or resistant Pseudomonas, and both are not covered by Zimforo. So Zimforo should definitely have a place for treating MRSA in VAP, but associated with a drug for the gram-negative, which are not covered by it. And that's a good thing because you may add another antibiotic and with less toxicity for the kidney and for the liver because you are using a drug active against the MRSA without having the potential side effects of other MRSA drugs.
Could I ask a quick question about pleural penetration? Penetration of the antibiotics for pleural effusions
data on this slide, on my slide on the pleural penetration, but I have seen data 17% penetration in the pleural space.
When you start treatment empirically with Zimforo and CAP, do you de-escalate when you have your culture results?
De-escalate, sure.
After your culture results?
It should be like this. That's why the assessment at 4 days, it was done for this reason. If you have a good response at 4 days and you have a bug sensitive to oral drugs, you may de-escalate and send the patient to home. That's one of the major issues in the strength of the drug. You don't de-escalate. That's the problem.
So you're because stuck you with the IV equivalent formulation.
If the culture is positive, you de-escalate. It's obvious. But if you have a good result at day four, and you don't have a culture, you can de-escalate because you don't know you don't have an oral equivalent of the drug. But you can. You have three more days to cover. It's 7 days.
Yeah. So you look at it.
No, I don't escalate if I don't have. The bug. I don't have the drug.
What about the penetration in the cephalospinal fluid?
A very, very interesting question. It's not labeled for CNS infection, but in the last IDSA this summer, there have been presentations of meningitis caused by methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which were resistant to vancomycin. Persons treated with vancomycin, then deptomycin, and the patient was doing bad, and they started Zimforo 3 per day, Q8 hours, with a clinical success. So it works.
Thank you, Dr. Nasnas. It's clear that the studies you showed are the proof of concepts of action, but surely these the patients that we needs to treat are not these patients. I mean, we need SMRA, we need to cover in severe CAP atypical pathogen, we need to know how this drug will be doing facing fluoroquinolone, the new ones, and so on. What do you say about that?
You can't compare the drug versus fluoroquinolones in CAP. Because in CAP, as you said, you may have normal bugs or atypicals. When you have the atypicals, it's a failure. It's obviously a failure. So what you should compare is a quinolone plus coverage for MRSA, because quinolones don't cover enough MRSA versus ceftaroline plus a macrolide. And these studies are not done until now, but it shall be done. We are talking about the usual pathogens, not the atypicals. For the atypicals, the arm, I suppose, should be a quinolone plus vancomycin or other thing for MRSA versus ceftaroline plus a macrolide.
Last question.
Could you comment on the high prevalence of Klebsiella pneumonia in community-acquired pneumonia in the Asian population?
I can't. I'm sorry, I can't. It's a very high prevalence. Yeah.
So
I can't.
Is it really community-acquired pneumonia?
These were CAP. Yeah. Absolutely CAP. These were not hospital HAP or neither VAP. The study was done on VAP. Yes, I was astonished by the high prevalence of Klebsiella maybe, I don't know what the drinking habits of the people they selected. Really, I don't know. I can't comment on it because I don't know the background. I can't. Interesting question.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Nasnas. Can you comment then on the resistance pattern of the strep pneumo? It seems to be higher than what we see. I mean, in our labs here in Lebanon, at least, at the major centers, I don't see a 68% response to or sensitivity to ceftriaxone. It's higher than that. It's in the 90 percentile. Or in this study here, it was 68%. That's quite alarming.
No.
This population.
In this study, they put together the intermediate and the resistance. And if you go intermediate plus resistance, you may go up to 50 to 60%.
So we should not be using ceftriaxone whenever we're strep pneumo.
No, because for pneumonia, when you use ceftriaxone 2 grams per day, you have higher. Because, you know, the problem with the pneumococcus is different from beta-lactamase production. When you have a beta-lactamase production and you increase the bacterial load, and if you have 10.5 concentration bugs in milliliter of gram of tissue, you have a certain amount of beta-lactamase. When you have a severe infection, the concentration of the organism is much higher, 10 to 8 or 10 to 9, and the quantity of the beta-lactamase is much higher. So it hydrolyzes the molecule. Even if you increase the amount of the molecule, it will be hydrolyzed. For the pneumococcus, it's the problem with the penicillin binding protein, and it's a relative resistance. Yani you have penicillin binding proteins with less affinity for the drug. They don't break down the drug, but they are less avid for the drug. If you increase the concentration, you saturate the PBP. So you may have action when you go up with the dose. That won't happen if you have a beta-lactamase. Then we see induction of beta-lactamase. You increase, and you increase the induction, and the molecule will be break down.
Okay, thank you.